gathered up my power into a defensive barrier around me, running it through my shield bracelet, and gritted my teeth. My heart pounded against my chest. It was entirely possible that walking through that doorway between worlds would take me to the bottom of a lake of molten lava, or over the edge of a rushing waterfall. There was no way to know until I actually stepped into it.
"I told you so," Bob chortled.
An electric engine buzzed above me and then abruptly died. Someone made puzzled sounds. Then a slender steel blade slipped through the crack in the door and someone started cutting through the bolts by hand. I stepped out of the real world and into the Never Never. I was braced for whatever would happen. Freezing cold, searing heat, crushing depth of water, even utter vacuum. The sphere of force around me was airtight and would keep me alive even in some place like outer space, at least for a few moments. I emerged into the Never Never, my shields at full strength, my blasting rod ready to unleash hell as the invisible sphere of force around me slammed into a rather lovely bed of daisies. My shields mashed them flat. The entire bed, in its little white planter, immediately resembled a pressed flower collection. I looked around slowly, my body tight and ready, my senses focused. I was in a garden. It looked like an Italian number. Only a minority of the shrubs and flowers were planted in raised beds. The others had been laid out to give the impression that they had grown naturally into the space they occupied. Grassy paths wound through the irregularly shaped garden, twisting and turning this way and that. A hummingbird, the size of a silver dollar, darted down and tucked its beak into a particularly bright flower and then vanished again. A bee buzzed by, just a regular old bumblebee, not some giant mutant monster thing. Don't laugh, I've seen them over there. I adjusted the shielding spell to allow air to pass through it and took a suspicious, cautious sniff. It might look like a nice place, but for all I knew, the atmosphere was laced with chlorine gas. It smelled like autumn sunshine, where the days might be balmy, but the nights could carry a heavy nip. Letting the air in meant that sound had an easier time getting past my shield. Birds chirped lazily. Somewhere nearby, there was running water. Bob started tittering.
"Look out! Look out for the vicious mega-squirrel, boss," he said, hardly able to speak clearly. "My gosh, that ficus is about to molest you."
I glowered down at the skull and returned to watching my surroundings for a moment more. Then I carefully lowered the shields. They burned a hell of a lot of energy. If I tried to hold them up for more than a few moments, I'd find myself too weary to function. Nothing happened. It was just a sleepy afternoon in a very pleasant, pretty garden.
"Should have seen your face," Bob said, still twitching with muffled laughter. "Like you were going to face an angry dragon or something."
"Shut up," I told him quietly. "This is the Never Never, and it's way too easy."
"Not every place in the spirit world is a nightmare factory, Harry," Bob scolded me. "It's a universe of balance. For every place of darkness, there is also one of light."
I turned another slow circle, checking for threats, before I took my staff and waved it from left to right again, shutting the gateway back to my laboratory. Then I returned to cautiously scanning the area.
"Stars and stones, Harry," Bob said merrily. "I guess wearing that gray cloak for so long rubbed off on you. Paranoid much?"
I glowered and never stopped scanning. Way too easy. 5 minutes later, nothing had happened. It's difficult to stay properly intimidated and paranoid when there is no evident threat and when the surroundings are so generally peaceful. "Okay," I said finally. "Maybe you're right. Either way, we need to get moving. Hopefully we can find somewhere one of us recognizes that can get us back to the ways."
"You want to leave a trail of breadcrumbs or something?" Bob asked.
"That's what you're for," I said. "Remember how to get back here."
"Check," he said. "Which way are we going?"
There were three paths. One wandered among high grasses and soaring trees. Another was pebbled and ran uphill, with plenty of large rocks figuring in the landscaping. The third had greenish cobblestones and led through a field of nice low flowers that left lots of visibility around us. I went with option three and started down the cobbled path. After 20 or 30 paces, I started to get uneasy. There was no reason for it that I could see. It was pure instinct. "Bob," I asked after a moment, "what kind of flowers are these?"
"Primroses," the skull replied instantly.
I stopped in my tracks. Oh, crap. The earth shook. The ground heaved around my feet, and up along the primrose path ahead of me, the walking stones writhed and lifted up out of the soil. They proved to be the gently rounded crowns of segments of exoskeleton. Said segments belonged to the unthinkably large green centipede that had just begun shaking its way loose from the soil as we spoke. I watched in sickly fascination as the creature lifted its head from the soil 50 feet away from us and turned to look our way. Its mandibles clacked together several times, reminding me of an enormous set of shears. They were large enough to cut me in half at the waist. I looked behind us and saw another 50 or 60 feet of the path ripping free and looked down to see that the walking stone I stood upon was also part of the creature, albeit the last to unplant itself. I fought to keep my balance as the stone ripped free, but I wound up being dumped into a bed of primroses while the enormous centipede's head slithered left and right and rolled toward me at a truly alarming rate. Its enormous eyes glittered brightly, and slime dripped from its hungrily snapping jaws. Its hundreds of legs each dug into the ground to propel its weight forward, their tips like tent stakes biting the earth. It sounded almost like a freaking locomotive. I looked from the centipede down to the skull.
"I told you so!"
I screamed.
"Way too easy!"